I trust that we can get a blessing out of God's word from the book of John in chapter 9. Hopefully we can have a few slides come up here and give you a little bit of an illustration. But we just trust that tonight it is God's voice that speaks to us. Not necessarily the pictures or the illustrations, but the word of God itself comes through and touches our heart and gives us a little bit more of a glimpse of eternity and perhaps what God would like to do with your life whilst here on earth. So let's just bow our heads and pray, and then we'll get stuck into it. Lord God, we just want to humble ourselves before you and acknowledge that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords, that you are the Creator. And we want to put ourselves in that position tonight. We want to thank you that you love us. We want to thank you that even while we were yet your enemies, you loved us, that Christ died for us. And we pray tonight that you would speak through your word to us, meet the need of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 9, and this particular message is one of three. I tried not to squeeze all three in tonight. There's a couple of worried faces. But this has actually started as a bit of an introductory message. From something that I preach back up at home at our home church, Open Door Baptist Church at Menai. Send their greetings as well, and they're in prayer for the ministry over the next week. But this particular message started off as an introductory message to John chapter 10, talking about the shepherd, and I got stuck. Actually, I got stuck over three messages, and I still haven't got to John chapter 10. So I'm going to spend a bit of time tonight in John chapter 9. So if you'd like to turn there, please, in your Bibles. And this is a passage, again, that you may know very well, where Jesus heals the blind man. And that I've known growing up, heard tons of messages about it. And yet when I started to look at it and just research it out a bit, there were some things that came out here that really showed that Jesus wants to use me. Despite my failures, despite my potential unique character, and God wants to use you too. And that's what I want to bring out strongly tonight. And so tonight we're going to be talking through, and I'm desperately hoping that as I'm clicking on this little thing here that we get a little bit more than white. There we go. Maybe it was just that signal. If this click doesn't work, I'll just do a wave, all right? So John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Brethren, we need to remember tonight that when we're talking about God's sheep, they listen to the shepherd. John chapter 9, verse 1. "And Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me,' verse 4, whilst it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation 'sent.' And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And the neighbours therefore and they which had seen him that he was blind said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' And some said, 'This is he,' and others said, 'Oh, it is like him.' But he said, 'I am he.'" That whole chapter is just chock-a-block full of exciting material that we could go through tonight. I'm just going to touch on a few key points. I wonder tonight if you are one of God's sheep. I wonder tonight if you know what it's like to hear and to know the voice of the shepherd. I wonder whether you have a personal testimony of salvation. I'm not talking about I know who God is. I'm not talking about I have grown up in a Christian family. I'm not talking about, yes, I know the scriptures, or I never miss a service. I'm talking about if you know the Saviour, if you know the Shepherd. There be many that are walking a life that know not the Saviour and yet name his name. Well, Jesus comes across a man who knows not the Saviour. And he also has a very evident physical need. And we see there in the beginning of John chapter 9, during Jesus' earthly ministry as he was going about with his disciples, he comes across a man that has a physical condition of blindness. Have a look, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw. He saw. It's not the disciples saw. The disciples may have known about this man anyway. I'm convinced that this was a well-known character in the community because he's been blind since birth. But Jesus looks across and he notices this blind man and perhaps if we'd like to put ourselves there, maybe even changes direction and starts to head towards this blind man. Perhaps there might have even been some questions going, what's Jesus doing now? Why are we going over here? Haven't we got an agenda today? Why are we going over to talk to the blind man? Everybody knows he's blind. There's not much people can really do for him. Maybe Jesus is going to make a contribution. Oh, the will of the Master is not measured by earthly things. Because Jesus knows that the man not only has a physical need, but has an eternal need as well. And the great thing is that this passage ends with this man's repentance. It ends with this man seeing who the Christ is, who Jesus is, being the Son of God. We're not going to touch on that tonight, but that's where the man came. That's his testimony. But Jesus sees the blind man and goes over there with his disciples and perhaps standing, looking at this man, or perhaps as they're walking over, the disciples ask a question. The thought comes into their mind. Perhaps many of them were thinking it, and then one of them asks. And he says, as Jesus came over to the blind man, who sinned? Whose fault is it that this man is blind since birth? Was it his parents? Because perhaps he couldn't do anything wrong. Maybe his parents did something that was really bad. They've sinned against God and then God punished them by making him blind. It was a common belief going around amongst the Jews that these physical ailments were as a result of sin. Now we do see physical ailments that are as a result of people's choices and are as a result of parental choices. But here we have a man who is blind since birth. Was it his parents' fault? Is this a punishment? You know, Jesus has previously corrected this issue in Luke 13. When he was told about the killing of some of the Galileans by Pilate. And around about that same time, there were 18 people killed when a tower came crashing down. Now, perhaps that was during some construction work or whatever, but we know that there were 18 people, and it would have been common news. You know, just like today, we talk about the latest tragic incidences that occur, and there are many of them. Feels like the world is getting worse, doesn't it? We've seen quite a number of those, even in the last 48 hours around the globe. Common news spreads quickly. But this incident in history with this tower falling killed 18 people, and their question back then was, what did they do wrong? And Jesus said, no, that's not the point. The point is, don't go into eternity without Christ. Wasn't a punishment of sin. Jesus' response here we see in verse 3. Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. Now he's not saying that they're not sinners. He's just correcting this belief that his blindness was a consequence of their sin. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I'm going to focus on that sentence tonight, that part of the verse. Jesus' response was, no, this is not a result of sin in the family. No, God's created this man. He's made him this way for a particular reason. Kind of messes with our heads a little bit, doesn't it? This man, he's blind. He's been made this way to the glory of God. Now, that can roll off the tongue quite easily. We can read that verse and move on. Perhaps you have before. But we can't without thinking about not only the impact on this man's life, but the impact on ours. You see, God's voice is sufficient. The shepherd's voice is sufficient. And it is sufficient for this man's need. This man has no idea what is about to happen. He didn't get up that morning with some premonition or some idea that something great was going to happen today. As a matter of fact, he probably just got up like normal. He was helped to that spot and he was begging for money so he could live. And even as he hears a potential crowd coming over to him, he's nothing new about that. Oh, I hope I'm going to get a little bit extra money. And he starts to hear a voice that's unlike the voice that he's ever heard. He starts to hear a conversation that's unlike he's ever heard. Not the blaming of sin. He's probably heard that before. He's probably heard the scoffing before and the dismissing before. Let's look carefully at what Jesus has said here. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I wonder whether this man started to grapple with that in his mind. Hang on, what did I just hear? Who are they talking about? Are they talking about me? Are they talking about my condition, or is this something else that is there something else they're talking about? That God wants to work through somebody to bring himself to glory. A man who had not known what it was to see. He had no concept of sight. I think people tried to perhaps explain it to him, but he couldn't imagine it. He really didn't know what he was missing. He would, however, have known that he was missing something. And as he matured and the conversations and the implications and the circumstances obviously stayed with him. And no doubt he was set to live his life like that through to whatever was ahead. That everyone around him had access to something else that he had not. He couldn't measure it. He just knew it was missing. That everyone else had some kind of access to information that he could not. But yet his hearing would have been exceptional. You know, we have a couple of folks in our church who are deaf. And I tell you this, they don't miss a thing. You dare not say something nasty across the other side of the room. They are expert communicators. Not only that, but they go to the extra lengths of helping you understand what they're saying. You know, sometimes I'll admit that it's sometimes difficult to take the time to communicate. Perhaps it was like for this man as well. Sometimes it was just too difficult for people to spend the time and say the same old things. I think that there would have been a sense of loneliness. But no doubt, his hearing would have been exceptional. He was listening to the voice of the shepherd. He was on the sidelines of society because we know that he's a beggar. Later on, it's confirmed in the chapter. He begged for money for income. He asked others to have compassion on him and to give him money. That was his lot. That was his accepted routine. There were no programs in place providing work for the blind. Industries would have thought during that time that it was too dangerous to have someone on site in the field or have someone working with machineries or around hot coals or selling things in street vending stalls. I want you to imagine it with me. There's no work for this man. And thus we see a community here who has nothing for the blind man but to allow him to sit down and to beg. Usher him to that place. And that's what he did, trusting other people's grace. And he was known throughout the community as the blind man. I wonder how many friends came and went. I wonder how many people stayed with him all the way through. Perhaps someone came and helped him to that site. You know, in Sydney, in the city, there are particular places where there's someone there begging. Now, I have heard of particular situations in Sydney where perhaps on the corner of George Street that there's actually quite a good living to be made by a number of these folks, but you know, many of them have a terrible, tragic background where they've allowed something into their life and they've taken on a course of tragedy or some sort of ailment. I remember being in India and seeing boys come up the window and just beg for the rubbish that was on the floor in the car because they might be able to get a bit of food out of it. We don't know what this is like. You and me sitting here tonight, we have no idea what it's like to have to beg for an existence. And yet people still do it every day. And that's what this man did. But that's all about to change because he's heard the voice of the shepherd. He's heard the blessed voice. How beautiful the words of Christ must have been. How amazing the voice of Jesus Christ must have sounded. He has never heard a voice like this. He's never heard a message like this. This voice is different. This tone is different. This care is different. This care is an eternal care. Not just a hope this helps you out for the day care. Brethren, he's never heard such words. He starts to hear his purpose. He starts to hear a reason. He starts to hear a bit of an explanation. He hears his purpose. I wonder if he was chewing over the words, made so God would reveal himself in me. So Jesus said that his physical circumstances here were created for a divine purpose. A divine purpose. You mean my life is as precious as everybody else? You mean that God has made me and I'm not just a mistake? You mean that in my weakness there is strength through this voice? You mean that God wants to bring something good from this weakness in my life? Yes, praise God. And brethren, we all have a divine purpose as well. You know, sometimes we can play the TikTok game. You know, on one hand, we're too proud and we're, you know, giving ourselves chips and stripes and thinking, you know what, we're pretty good at some things and da da da. And then on the other scale, sometimes we say, no, I'm just so bad that God could never use me. I'm so weak and I don't have any talents. I'm not like such and such. I can't play instruments like the musicians down the front, so therefore I'll never try. I can't conduct like pastor, so I'll never try. No. Watch out for the comparison game. We do that, don't we? You know, we go from this stage where we're proud or we're depressed, not resting. Brethren, every person who sits here tonight, God has a purpose for your life. God wants to use you. I'm not talking about blessing when we're sinful. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about lives that are on the altar. I'm talking about saying, God, but I want you to use my life. Take me the way that you have made me. Yes, there may be some things that you need to get right before God, before he can take you on that purposeful journey. And no doubt there will be times as we go along where we need to be seeking his cleansing. But I wonder, brethren, whether you've made that choice. I wonder whether you've heard that voice. You say, yes, you know what? God has made me for a purpose and he wants to bring out his glory in my life. Now, I wonder how he's going to do that. I surrender. The shepherd is all you need. The shepherd is all this man needs. You know, we often think that we need more than Christ. No doubt there would have been people surrounding this man that were thinking, no, he needs more than the shepherd. He needs more than this man. Now, what we don't see is the surrounding him of the Jews, of the Pharisees, of those who were constantly critical and seeking to take Jesus down in his ministry. That we don't see that picture around him, but it was there. We see it come out as soon as this man is healed. All the attacks, devil constantly trying to undermine and take away the glory. But you know, it's a sad illusion to believe that we need more than the shepherd. It's a sad illusion to believe that you need more than Christ. And yet it's so easy, because that is the voice and the message that we hear from the world. Day in, day out. You see, the blind man here, he needs the healing power of Jesus Christ. Full stop. That's what he needs. Both for his physical blindness and his spiritual blindness. That's what you need. Now, our greatest need is to have those scales taken away. Our greatest need is to see our failure, that we've broken God's laws, that we've offended a holy God, that we in no way can please Him. We can't buy our way to heaven. We can't buy ourselves forgiveness. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. I wonder whether you've responded to the shepherd's voice. All we need is Christ. And not part-time, but full-time. We don't need Christ every Sunday. We don't need the Lord every Sunday, but every day we need Him moment by moment. I do. Do you? I wonder whether you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your all-sufficiency. Are you listening to that voice? You know, this moment in history was this man's moment. His life was made for changing. His life was made for changing. And so we see here in verse 6 that Jesus reaches down and he grabs some dirt. As the crowd maybe starts to gather, and I wonder what the Lord Jesus is going to do now. Maybe the hecklers start, oh, don't waste your time with him. Hang on a second, isn't it the Sabbath? What's the Lord Jesus going to do now? Jesus reaches down and picks up some dirt and applies some spittle to the dirt and starts to make a compound, like a little bit of a rub going on there. And he applies it. As you can see, I'm chopping between cartoon and I don't have any live footage of this one. And he applies that dirt to the man's eyes. Now, I want you to stop there and I want you to think about that for a second. You're applying dirt to eyes. How does that make you feel? Hang on a second. Now, you know, I've heard it over and over again with parents and even, you know, perhaps some advice to me. And it's okay for your kids to, you know, play in the dirt and get a bit dirty. I'm okay with that, right? You know, it's okay for them to eat a bit of dirt now and then. You know, it's good for the system. I don't know about that. But when I think about dirt here, I don't think of it in the sense of medical terms. I just don't see it used as a medicinal kind of way to bring about healing. Now, I'm not talking about mud packs, okay? I know that there are applications and things that you can do and things you can put on and whatever. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm talking about in the true medical sense here. You know how you can go to the supermarket and you can buy products and they market them by saying it's hospital grade? You know how it kills 99.9% of germs? So that 0.1% must be pretty nasty, right? You never see hospital grade dirt. Now, I know I'm going out on a limb here a little bit, but I want to prove a point. You know, hospitals spend a whole decent amount of any medical people here, nurses, one, couple, all right, I've got to be careful what I say. You know, hospitals spend a lot of time keeping the dirt out. They don't necessarily have it there for administration purposes. You know, this morning at around 2 a.m. we were in hospital and our little one had a bit of a rattle going on and so, you know, we did what you usually do on a Sunday morning and went off to Wodonga Hospital. We found it and tromping around in the rain. And when my wife took our baby in there, they did not have... you know, up on the shelf there, a series of different dirt compounds that they were going to use. You know, even the medical type people back then perhaps were horrified that Jesus was reaching down into the dirt and applying spittle for his divine purposes. He moistens it. He puts it on the man's eyes. You know what happens when we get dirt in our eyes? It just doesn't work, does it? You know, we spend a whole lot of time trying to get that dirt out. One little grain can just ruin our day. And yet Jesus uses something here that confuses us to bring about glory for himself. Matthew Henry said, Christ magnified his power in making a blind man to see, doing that which one would think more likely to make a seeing man blind. Human reason cannot judge of the Lord's methods. He uses means and instruments that men despise. You know, God uses things in his purpose according to his will that we look at and we say, that's impossible, but that's the point. To bring himself the glory. Now, there'd be many things that man would put God's name to and say that God will bring himself the glory. I'm not talking about those things where we take the world into the church and we try and bless it somehow and hope that God's going to bless. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way that God uses you and me. You know, he wants us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You know, our good works, the way that we live our life, the things that we say, the things that we witness, the things that we do, the way that we live, should be speaking not from the fact that we're just good people and aren't they great, and that's a good choice for you, pat on the back. No. We're talking about an example here where people say, I don't get it. How is it possible that that could happen through them? It must be God. How is it possible that God could bring about glory to himself through these terrible circumstances? Because the Lord can. He's the master. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring things to naught. The things that are that no flesh should glory in his presence. I put the picture of the donkey up there because it just reminded me of myself. Why are you laughing? Brethren, God wants to use you and me for his glory. And he can when we're listening to his voice. But not only when we're listening, but when we're doers of the word as well as hearers of the word. You see, the blind man heard that God wanted to make himself manifest, that God wanted to reveal himself through him, that this is the moment. But it wasn't just about hearing, it was about doing as well. You see, if the blind man doesn't hearken to what Jesus asks him to do, he stays blind. Imagine that as the end of the story. And Jesus applied the spittle and the mud upon the man's eyes and he said, I want you to go and wash. And the man said, no, I'm going to go and see my naturopath. And the man said, no, I'm going to hope for the best. Or the man said, no, nothing can help me. I'm too proud. God doesn't want boasters before him. You see, we need to be humble and humble ourselves before God. What we're saying is, God, I can't do this myself. I can't change myself. I desperately need you. You are the only way. There's enough to distract us. There are so many contrary messages going about. I'm not going to go and bore you with statistics. It's very easy to do by bringing up all sorts of different, you know, talking about how much time we spend watching television and social media and smart devices. You already know that. That's between you and the Lord on the way that we invest our time. The time that God's given. About, oh, there are many, many voices. I wonder whose voice you're listening to. I wonder whose advice you're listening to. Because there's plenty of it. You see, God says to the man, Jesus says, I want you to go down and wash. Verse 6, please. He anoints the man's eyes. with the clay. And he says to him, go and wash in the pool. Go and wash in the pool. I like to think that maybe even as he was on his way, there were voices that would distract him from carrying out the instruction of the master, the instruction that he heard from the voice of the shepherd. You see, he can't see yet. By faith, the man, he's taken some action here on what he's heard. And he goes down, I like this, he's kind of holding him by the belt there to stop him from falling in. But maybe there were people around him that had better advice. Perhaps the advice was there, listen to your heart. Have you heard that one before? I think we all have, because that's the message of the world, isn't it? Listen to your heart. Oh, it's so romantic. Just go the way you feel. No, that's not God's way. We know that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's our heart. Listen to your heart. You know what's best. No, he doesn't know what's best. That's why Jesus has come to him in his state. Perhaps another piece of advice. You don't need to follow his word. How do you know it's true? How do you know it's going to work? Maybe you're going to follow that instruction and then it'll let you down. And then you'll be a laughingstock in front of everybody. And then you'll just have to go back to being a blind man. Maybe the doubt was there about the sufficiency and about the accuracy of God's word. By all means, mate, give it a go. Just test it out. See if it works. Then go and see an expert. Maybe you know and you've met people before that have said, I've given Christianity a go. I've given God a go, but it didn't work for me. And they don't know the shepherd. What's the blind man doing there? Questioning God's word. You know, there are many distractions, and the devil wants you to hear and to watch and to see those distractions, even as one of Christ's child, even as a saved individual, even as one who has a testimony, he still wants to distract you from hearing that voice. He still wants to distract you from the word of God, and there are, as I said, many distractions. Whose voice are you listening to? You see, distraction can cause doubt. Divert us away from the word of God. Oh, we need it to live. We need it to grow. And we need it to make our lives come alive. To obey the very one who's rescued us. Well, praise God, the man responded. And he obeyed. He obeyed the voice of the shepherd. And he did go and wash. And as... I should correct that. And... exactly as God had said, exactly as Jesus had said, the man was healed. And I was just going through a series back at home around the plagues in Egypt and how many times Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And the amount of times that God had prepped Moses and Aaron with the message and said, you know what, when you do this, this is what's going to happen next. And then the passage says, and as God had said, you know, when God says something, it's concrete. It's not wobbly. It doesn't go the way of all of the sage advice in this world. It's concrete and it's true. It can't change. And it always comes about. Well, the man went away seeing. He came seeing in verse 7. And verse 8 we start to see, and I'm just going to briefly cover this, to get to our conclusion, but you know what? The neighbours saw it, and there were so many different reactions. Verse 8, the neighbours therefore, and they which had seen him, that he was blind, said, is that not he that sat and begged? Is that not that blind man? And some said, this is he, and others said, well, it's like him. But he said, I am he. Now this man goes on there to go through some heavying, a lot of questions from the Pharisees. You know, at one stage there, later on in the passage, his parents even threw him under the bus. They were under pressure. Who did this? How did he get healed? The crowd said. They went to his parents. How did this happen? And they said, we don't know. He's of age. Go and ask him. And in the very next verse it says they were scared to give an answer because of the pressure from the Jews. They threw their own son under the bus when he had a clear testimony. They went through and said, how is this happening? You know, he even preached to them and said, it's your own blindness that is causing this unbelief. And then in the conclusion of the passage, praise the Lord, he is converted. Jesus says to him in verse 35, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You want a confirmation that Jesus claims is the Son of God? Right there, the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd. Oh, brethren, if he hadn't have taken the action and been obedient, he'd still be blind. He not only needed to be a hearer of the voice of the shepherd, but a doer. And it's the same with us. Why is it that when James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, when that comes to mind, why don't we apply it? Why is it that we hear God's word, that we hear the voice of the shepherd? We know God's word, and yet we fundamentally fail to apply it consistently in our lives. Perhaps Psalm 115, verse 1, if this man knew the psalmist, it would be coming back to his mind. And it says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. You know, God wants to receive the glory. He wants to receive the glory, brethren. Listen, he wants to receive the glory through your life. Is your life pointing to Christ? Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Who else deserves the glory? Not us. But our faithful God does. I wonder if the shepherd's voice in conclusion is familiar to you. I wonder whether you can count yourself as one of those sheep that responds to God's voice. Who else has the words of eternal life? Who else knows our steps and guides our path? Who else holds us tight in their hands so no one can take us away from him? Who else laid down his life for us? Who else assures us of our life being of purpose to bring glory to him? Ah, the words of the hymn writer, what a wonderful Saviour is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus, my Lord. We're a new creature in Christ. That's what he gives us when we trust him as Saviour. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, his word doesn't change. His promises are set. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, are the words of the shepherd. Are you listening to the voice of the shepherd? Millions have. Crowds have gathered around Jesus even during his earthly ministry to the point where he had to be off the shore in a boat for them to be able to hear, for him to stay away from the press of the crowd, and yet many rejected. They heard the voice and they still said no. See, the devil himself knows the voice of Jesus. Even this man here whom in this illustration, whom Jesus cast out the devils. Oh, they pleaded, please, Lord, cast us into the swine. They feared and trembled. The voice of the one who spoke to the storm, be still, and it obeyed. The voice who Peter listened to as he took steps of faith. That voice that was there from the beginning, brethren, let there be light. You see, this is a credible voice, isn't it? We're talking about the voice of the Creator. We're talking about the I am. I am that I am. I wonder what weakness in our life, or something that we would count as foolish. And again, I'm not talking about sin. We need to get that right before the Lord. I'm talking about things that we think that God could never use, but He wants to, for His glory. Because we have our own unique set of them, don't we? We're a peculiar people. I mean, we only have to have a look around amongst us, and you're all looking at me, so that's great. We're a peculiar people. What's the result of God working in you? The complicated diagram says it all. We don't come into the equation. When God is working through us to His good pleasure, people are turned to Christ. I wonder how bright our light is shining. His word is settled. His voice is true. You think it's worth listening to? Tonight He says, follow me. Challenge is, are we listening? And not only are we listening, but are we obeying that voice? Because His voice is sufficient. Let's pray. So Lord, we thank You that the blind man heard the voice of the shepherd and hearkened and obeyed. And we saw not only his physical healing, but his spiritual healing. And we ask that even in the heart of the preacher tonight and in the heart of the congregation, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be set upon You. In a world that is constantly seeking to distract us away from eternal things, Lord, may our lives be ones of examples that point to You. Bless our hearts tonight with a remembrance of You. Bless our hearts tonight with an assurance from God's word that You want to use us in a mighty way. And bless this place and the folks throughout the week and the camp coming up. May it bring glory to You in Jesus' name. Amen.